This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. You're listening to episode 103 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max.
Hi, David. How are you?
Good. We had some breaking news today. Our Twitter feed broke 4,000 people. We must be doing something right.
I guess. That's great. What a milestone.
Quite a milestone. Considering we've only been on the air for a little over 2 years, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yep. This episode, folks, we're going back to our old school format where it's just going to be Max and I in the news. So I guess we should go over a little bit of our topics, and let's start off with drone law goes DJI, Swiss delivery drones, wildfires and new regulations, Uber for drones, the Silicon Valley of drones, drone aerial photography contest winners. The United States Air Force has a plan to get more remotely piloted vehicle pilots, and UAS accidents rising in the Netherlands. Big topic list, so I guess we better get started, huh, Max?
All right. Yeah, that is a great list. Let's get started.
Well, the breaking news this week was a friend of the show and everybody's corporate lawyer for UAVs, Brendan Schuman, went to DJI. So congratulations for DJI for catching the biggest fish as far as laws, UAV law is concerned. But this is an interesting news item, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite an interesting move. Schulman was with a law firm, Kramer, Levin, Neftalis, and Frankel. He was the head of the unmanned aircraft systems practice there. And as David said, he's moved to DJI, where he's now the vice president of policy and legal affairs. So, yeah, I think DJI has snagged a good one. And it's interesting to see that DJI is interested in filling a position like that.
Yeah, I mean, considering it's a Chinese-based company and they're hiring a U.S. lawyer for, I guess they know what side their bread is buttered on. But DJI was quoted as saying on their company announcement for Schulman was one of his key initiatives was to propose to the FAA a micro UAS category that would allow commercial operations of drones weighing 3 pounds or less.
Yeah, that's encouraging because we had in the NPRM that the FAA issued some hints around the possibility of a micro UAS category, but nothing really specific about how that would be created or constituted or what the requirements or regulations would be for that. So this is something that I think a lot of people are eager to see. We need kind of another way to put it is sort of a toy category, although that's a lot of people probably wouldn't want it described that way. But I think we need a category for really small UAS that really don't represent a hazard or a risk.
But are going to be used commercially. I mean, let's keep that in the mix. DJI is looking for commercial activity. Being the social media hog or geek that I am, what's interesting is Brendan on Twitter is drone laws, at drone laws. I'm going to wonder what's going to happen to his social media activity in this new corporate environment. I hope he still is around and is a great source of information and a lot of great topics. And if you do follow, don't follow him on Twitter, you should. But not only that, but there seems to be a whole industry developing of people moving from law into commercial, also discussed in this article, which we didn't mention earlier, which was from, and Rob would probably get us really upset, but this was from AIN Online. So we need to where this information was coming from. So let's talk about the other recent hires.
Yeah, they mentioned a number of them in the article. Last September, Amazon hired Ben Guilo as its senior manager of public policy. He had been the former Association of Unmanned Vehicle Systems International Council. So he's moved over to Amazon. Also to Amazon, this time in March, Amazon appointed Sean Cassidy to the director of partner relationships. He had previously been an Alaska Airlines pilot and also first vice president of the Airline Pilots Association, ALPA. So that was an interesting move. But the article lists a few more, don't they, David?
They do. And I think we talked about this last August. Google hired David Voss from Rockwell Collins to lead its project wing to deliver packages. April, Aerospace Industries Association Vice President for Communications Research became President Communications of Aurora Service Sciences, and that was Francis Chip Scheller. Gretchen West, formerly of AUVSI, as an Executive Vice President, worked for Drone Deploy for a while and is now out on her own. And Gretchen, if you listen to this show, we'd love to have you on it. Likewise, and this is a big one, John McGraw, who was the former deputy director of the FAA Flight Standards Service, acted as a consultant to video production companies for when applying for the FAA UAS exemptions after he left the FAA. So that's one way to get the inside track is when you hire an insider to do it.
Yes, and it is really, well, it's interesting and encouraging, I think, to see this kind of movement. Certainly, there's a lot of issues that need to be dealt with at a lot of different levels, at the manufacturer level, at the legislative level, at the legal level, at the regulatory level, and to see this kind of cross-pollinization, sharing of ideas and perspectives, I think, is healthy for the industry.
So I guess we should move on from our discussion of people. The next article was also from AIN Online, but it was actually sent to us by our listener, Kenneth. Swiss Postal Service air cargo carrier to begin drone testing. This is pretty neat. Freight carrier Swiss World Cargo announced on July 7th that it began testing the Matternet 1 drone for use in, quote, exceptional cases for the transport of special items, unquote.
Yeah, Swiss World Cargo carries for the Swiss mail service, but the Matter 1 quadcopter is a really interesting concept, both the aircraft itself, but also how they intend to use it. Now, they're just at the test stage at this point. I don't think that we're going to see package delivery, starting imminently. But this quadcopter can carry up to a kilogram for a range of about 10 kilometers on one battery charge. Interesting aspect of this is that it is an autonomous flight based on cloud software. Matternet, of course, is a California company. Some interesting aspects to this Matternet 1 quadcopter.
Yeah, I kind of like the whole autonomous flight based on cloud software. That's got a kind of neat trick to it, but meaning that they pre-program it to fly. It's really not a mature program. I mean, in the article, they discuss that it will not really be feasible for another 5 years. And two of the important things that they say why it's not feasible yet is, one is battery life. They don't have the batteries to do any real distances yet. And like they talked about last night, I was watching a television show that, lithium ion batteries, while they're lightweight, they're not really perfect yet. And they got long way to go for proper miniaturization so you could do long distances on these rechargeable batteries. And the other one is, of course, the dreaded regulations. Now, they're testing in Switzerland, but they want to basically transfer this to North America, et cetera. And it's an interesting thing. I do like the look of it. It's kind of a sexier version of what you see for Amazon Prime's delivery hexacopter. It's got sort of a cradle-ish kind of delivery package, whereas it's not doesn't look like a quadcopter holding a box. It's sort of the box is sort of integral to the quadcopter. I don't know. What do you think aesthetically, Max?
Yeah, it is a good-looking craft, and we'll put a link to the Matternet website in the show notes. I encourage you to take a look. They make some interesting statements in their web on their website when they talk about their cloud-based routing system. They say it does all the work for you. It guides the Matternet 1 along a secure route at low altitude between 50 and 100 meters above ground, adjusting for inclement weather, avoiding tall buildings, mountains, and restricted airspace. Which, of course, if you have something that's autonomous, you need to have some capabilities like that. So I'm really interested in to see how the autonomous flight control works. And, you know, if that's a technology that they've got figured out or if we've got several years of development ahead of us, I'm just not sure. But I can't wait to see where this one goes.
The other part that they do talk about is it's app-driven. So you pull out your smartphone to fly it. So it's technology. We like it. It's pushing the envelope. So let's talk about pushing the envelope in not-so-good ways. We know that drones are a great way to capture stunning footage of events. In this case, wildfires. We talked about it last week. And the Forestry Department had a DC-10 that was going to drop onto a Northern California wildfire. And unfortunately, they had a drone in the airspace and they called it off. And the U.S. Forestry Department lost $10,000. They had two aircraft that had to just dump their product, not on a fire, but somewhere else so they could land. But luckily, the DC-10s load, they could transfer to some other portion of the fire. But as a result of this, there's a bit of an uproar, and we've got senators and congressmen and state senators and congressmen in California who are trying to prevent this the only way they know how, by writing laws.
Yeah, we've seen an introduction of a bill which apparently would make it a criminal offense to interfere with firefighting efforts on federal land. You know, I think it would impose fines, maybe even jail time if you're caught. It mentions the Wildfire Airspace Protection Act of 2015, and then California is also proposing a fine, $1,000 to $5,000 if you're caught. But you know, I have mixed feelings about this, David, because, again, this is sort of, you know, legislation that's super targeted on a particular technology, drones in this case. I guess I would rather see a more general kind of proposal that deals with interfering with firefighting efforts, period, whether it's federal land or not, whether it's by interference by drone or anything else. I don't know that drone-specific legislation is the way to go on this.
Well, there's two different levels here. The first level, which is Paul Cook, is going to be a federal law. It's interference, and I think it is a broader scope law that you were looking for. The California law that's proposed by California states, which has got the $1,000 to $5,000 fine, is really interesting because it talks about reckless versus non-reckless flight with the UAVs, and it's more UAV specific. And that's one of those ones where, okay, who's going to make the determination that that pilot flying that drone was flying it recklessly or non-recklessly? Mm. You've got two different levels of legislation here in result of someone being stupid or just not knowing. And I'd like to be able to say that there are people out there that we need to charge when they're flying dumb. Also, we also want to integrate UAVs into forest fighting to help locate firefighters and stuff. And we'll keep an eye on it and see if Paul Cook's House of Representatives 3025 bill will follow along or anyone else will jump in. As wildfire season here in the States goes on, we'll see if there's more events that maybe more senators across the United States or congressmen will want to take action. Everybody wants to do something, but sometimes it's better not to do something than it is to do something. So
And also to leave these issues to the federal level, not the state level. But the next one, David, this is really fascinating, this Fly For Me company.
Yeah, and it's surprisingly a company that's doing it right. This is a little bit older story. It's from June 22nd from betaboston.com. Fly For Me gets FAA approval and launches, quote, Uber for drones, unquote. And Beta Boston is the Boston Globe. Cambridge, Massachusetts, Fly For Me received a 333 exemption to conduct, quote, community training workshops, research and development, and aerial inspections of buildings and land within the United States, unquote. Note, within the United States, it's not just a local one. They've got national permission, and they've got a goal that is going to, they're creating an app for their, for a smartphone to, you need a drone, you pull up the app, you type it in, and they'll, like Uber, match a pilot to your needs.
What a fascinating idea. This is something that has been out in beta since mid-June. So this, I guess this isn't live yet. But yeah, the idea is you book a flight, depending on what kind of a mission you've got. If you want to do some aerial photography or, I don't know, some crop surveys or tower inspections or I guess whatever, you make it known through their app that you've got this requirement. And in effect, that's going into this marketplace where pilot profiles are reviewed and you start to get bids from pilots for the work that you have in mind. And then the process matches up the pilots with the customers looking for a flight. And it goes from there. But some of the interesting aspects of this is that while your pilot is conducting the mission, you as the customer have some visibility into what's going on.
You watch the data come through and you work with the pilot. The other part about it that was really kind of neat was if you become a customer to them and say you need to check your shingles on the roof of your house 4 times a year, you fly the first plan, and if it meets your specifications, they have a program plan so that that was the fall inspection. When you do your winter inspection, they'll fly the same plan. So you get a consistent amount of data. And for things like inspections of power lines or buildings, that's a phenomenal tool to know that all you have to do is call up the company and say, hi, it's me. I need my inspection done Friday. And they'll know what the inspection is, what the requirements are, and they've done it if they've done it before. They just run the process, you get the data, and you go from there. It's a lot going on, and it's one of those technologies where they're thinking out of the box, and they're really looking at it from not just a drone doing work, the customer service, and all of the other things that go with getting those pilots the work and getting quality from those pilots for the customers.
So look in the show notes for the website. Well, it's flyfor.me, but there's a lot of information on the website about this. Makes for some interesting reading. It seems like it's a, like you say, David, it's a well thought out business plan, and it'll be exciting to see how successful they are.
And they are looking for pilots. I know we have quite a few people who are looking to begin their odyssey as UAV pilots. So check them out. They have a certification procedure and et cetera. So they're looking for pilots. And like I said, their 333 is national. So you might be able to start a fly-by-me organization in your local state, even though they're based in Boston. So good for them. But let's move to another cold climate, since we're dealing with Boston and Massachusetts. I think they probably did get more snow this year than North Dakota. But North Dakota is becoming the drone capital of the United States, isn't it, Max?
That's what they're trying to do. And they're moving in that direction pretty solidly. They're looking to open this summer the Grand Sky Development Park. That's at the Grand Forks Air Force Base. And that would become the first U.S. unmanned airport, as they put it, from the Grand Sky Development Park website. They characterize it as the United States' first commercial UAS business and aviation park. They say they're looking for tenants and owner-occupants working on UAS testing, evaluation, research, development, training, flying, and operations.
And it's got 1.2 million square feet of hangar and office space and a runway for drones only.
Mm.
The state invested $5 million of infrastructure and 7.5 more in grants for runway improvements to the Grand Forks Air Force Base, which, if people don't know, was a long-time B-52 base. So it's got a really big runway and a really large area because B-52s are, of course, really little airplanes, and you don't need a lot of space for those. Wrong. Also, North Dakota is one of the test centers.
One of the UAS, one of the FAA UAS test sites. So, yeah, a lot of activity going on there. But kind of the interesting point of all this is that the state there, in this case, North Dakota, is taking an active part and putting their money where their mouth is, I guess, in terms of developing this capability. They recognize the economic value to North Dakota. Also, North Dakota is a generally pretty remote kind of a place, so it offers the opportunity for testing in a fairly safe environment. So it has that going for it as well.
So you put the next story in the show notes. You want to take it?
CNN has an article about the 2015 Drone Aerial Photography Contest. And this is a contest sponsored, I guess, by Dronestagram. And they've just announced the winners. This is the second annual photo competition. It's not a video competition, as I see this. It's a photo competition. The submissions were judged by National Geographic and also the Dronestagram CEO and founder. That's Eric Dupin. But the article shows 9 photographs from the more than 5,000 entries. And there really is some nice photography in there. In a number of categories. Places was a big category that had a lot of entries, and a lot of these images are from that category. One of the winners is Above the Mist, which was taken in Brazil, but there's photos from Normandy, France. We have tulip fields, patterns, interesting photographs. And it was sponsored by not only National Geographic, but also Kodak, Parrot, GoPro, Hexo Plus, Picanova, Hobbyco, and Adobe. So nice support from corporate sponsors. So that was good to see. So link to that in the show notes. Have a look at the photos.
Well, evidently the Air Force is admitting it. It's got an RPA pilot shortage. RPA, we talk about UASs, we talk about UAVs, we talk about RPVs. Well, the Air Force has changed the logo, turnaround again, and they call them remotely piloted aircraft. We're talking about your Predators and your Reapers and your Global Hawks and everything else the Air Force flies. The Secretary of the Air Force this week rolled out a new details to improve the RPA mission. This was from actually Air Force.mil, which is AF.mil. And they would have a, this is a big deal, critical skills retention bonus for pilots, RPA pilots. These would be either 5 or 9 years at $15,000 extra a year, beginning in fiscal year 2016. Pilots would also be eligible to receive a 50% payment up front. So the Air Force is putting their money where their mouth is. They need pilots, and now they're going to fork over the cash to keep them.
Yeah, and another part of this plan is to take some of the undergraduate pilot training graduates, about 80 of them, and assign them to RPA squadrons. And that's supposed to start next month in August. I guess, David, what these are pilots that would otherwise have gone probably to manned aircraft. And I guess the Air Force is going to sort of reassign them to the RPA function.
Right. It might be a couple of years in RPAs and then going into back into manned aircraft. I'm sure that those undergraduate pilots may or may not be happy. I would lean on, if I was training to be an F-16 pilot and I was going to be found out that I'm going to be flying a Reaper, I might not be too happy. But it's where the tactical missions is, and where they've got a, we've got a shortage of manpower, and we've got, they're going to do it. So But it sounds like the Air Force is going to make it worth their effort.
And then a final aspect to the plan that was announced is that the Air Force is going to spend more than $100 million to buy 6 next-generation ground control stations, also more training simulators, and also fund some contract instructors. So kind of beefing up the, I guess, the infrastructure behind this. All that together, it's hoped that that will address this shortage problem.
We'll see. It's not a glamorous job, but somebody's got to do it. So hopefully the Air Force can make it more palatable. I know they've had challenges over recently about this, and the drone people felt like they were second-class citizens. So hopefully the Air Force will continue going down this road and view it as it's their future. They need to make sure that they've got the right people and qualified people and people who are happy because they stay in the job. Otherwise, they leave and they go somewhere else. So, and that means you have lots of airplanes with nobody to fly them. So good on the Air Force. Hopefully they'll keep going. Let's hop from the Air Force to the Netherlands. This was an interesting article, huh, Max?
Yeah, this is some data from the Dutch Transport Ministry, and we saw this in UAS Vision. And the ministry says that that they've received reports of small unmanned aircraft accidents in 2012, 2013, and 2014. And if you look at the numbers, we start with 8 accidents in 2012, 15 in 2013, and 27 in 2014. So you've got a pretty pretty direct upward growth pattern there. They do note, and this is kind of interesting, that most of these reports come from manned aircraft and professional drone users. That, I guess, implies that there are maybe other uses, recreational, hobbyist kinds of accidents or incidents that maybe are underreported in this data.
Yeah, and the result is, I don't want to say draconian, but tighter regulations as far as the Netherlands is concerned. Max height will be 50 meters, no farther than 100 meters from the controller, 50 meters distance from people, building, and other unmanned aircraft, and a smaller radius of 5 kilometers to the airports. So accidents keep growing up, huh, Max? Well, yeah. Funny how that works. There's more drones. I would have liked to have seen more, you know, what Netherlands has increased as far as UAVs go, what the increase is compared to how many accidents they have. I mean, we need that kind of study to see, you know, it's, quote, growing exponentially, but is it growing exponentially because people are flying badly, or is it growing exponentially because the industry itself is growing exponentially?
Right. What you'd really like to see is an incident rate rather than just strictly an absolute number.
Well, all right, Max, I think we should continue with the agricultural theme since we were talking about the Netherlands. And this week we got a video from the week from Robert Fry, who sent it to us via Twitter, which is our @UAVDigest account. And Robert sent us one about feeding corn in Iowa. And it's a Hagee applying liquid fertilizer to corn with Y drops. And it was flown by an Inspire 1. Wow, what a concept. Not a DJI Phantom,
yeah,
but an Inspire, DJI nonetheless, but an Inspire 1. It's a pretty neat video of corn and growing, and it's got a calming sense to it.
It's a lot of corn, David. That's like miles and miles of corn. You know, we have farms here in New England, but when you look at a farm in Iowa by comparison, what we have here seems pretty small.
And it was clearly knee-high by the 4th of July.
Yeah, yeah.
As my old father used to say, that we here in the Mid-Atlantic states, it had to be knee-high by the 4th of July, otherwise you weren't going to get a crop out of it. So
there you go.
Links to the show notes. And again, thanks, Robert, for sending it. And we, of course, encourage you to send us your videos. There's plenty out there. So send us the good ones at feedback@theuavdigest.com or send us a link like Robert did via our UAV Digest Twitter account.
So we have one feedback that we received, David, that we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, let's give a shout out to Harry. I couldn't go back and remember when we talked about Harry and his drone poetry, but evidently he's got it published now. We'll put a link to the show notes. It's in a book called Our Real Red Selves, and it's going to be performed at the Edinburgh Poetry Festival this year and Summerall as part of the Fringe Festival. So we'll put links in the show notes. Congratulations, Harry. We liked the poetry back when you first sent it to us. I know Max thought it was really cool that he, the artist in him thought it was really cool. And it was another aspect of UAVs that we never thought about when we started this show.
For sure. So, yeah, we'll have some links in the show notes. And if that's an area you're going to be near, maybe you can stop in, see the performance, and cheer Harry on.
So I guess with that, we should wrap up and talk about where they can find us.
All right. Well, first we'll say that we're very, very appreciative that you've been listening to this episode of the UAV Digest. You can find us at theuavdigest.com. You can also go to the show notes at that site. But if you'd like to go straight to the show notes, just visit theuavdigest.com/103 for episode 103.
And of course, you can join us on social media. You can join us at Twitter at UAV Digest, Facebook, which is facebook.com/theUAVDigest. And if you want to support the show, there's multiple ways you can do it. One is you can go to our website, theuavdigest.com, and sign up for our newsletter, which might actually happen in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to try to make that happen for number one. And we'd like to some feedback on that, on what maybe a newsletter you'd like for our community. And I like it to be for our community. If you'd like to participate other ways, you can always, and we really appreciate this, leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. That way other people can find us. We'd like to be the top podcast for UAVs out there. And we'd like you to help us by leaving a review. You could also go to the website and buy some swag or, of course, like our guest last week did, become a patron of the account and go to our Patreon page where you can help fund the show. There's a lot of things we want to do. And remember, folks, the money's pretty much coming out of our pockets. I'm not begging. We're not asking for anything, but every little bit helps. And we want to be able to bring you more. And one of the goals is Max and I do want to get more out to your events and meet you face to face and such. So think about joining our patron page. We really would appreciate it. And I guess with that, I'll say this is David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thank you so much for listening.